You said a horrible thing at the beginning of the podcast, now a horrible thing at the beginning of the fucking peachy pit about it.
Everything's what did I do? Bad.
Welcome, one and all, to the Peach Pit, a Matt Arnold cumcast about a show, about just some folks in the 50s shooting people's legs off. Welcome to a Prairie Home Companion.
Oh,
where
God.
All the men come, the women are horny, and the children are above average.
Oh, the women don't come, that's so sad.
Yeah. Hey, look. Okay. Look,
that's
man.
That's what happens when women are having sex with men.
Yep.
Sorry.
It's Lake Wobegon, dude.
Lake Wobegon, not Lake Wobecum. I'm so Wobegon-coded. I've been thinking about it ever since we recorded in that theater in Minnesota where they do the show, where they did Prairie Home before Garrison got canceled. Man, let's talk about our show. Let's talk about this show called Dungeons and Daddies.
Thick episode, boys.
Back to it. Another big chungus episode, a big chonky, thick, meaty ep. I really like this one, guys. I was pleased as punch with how this came out. I thought we were all on fire. I thought everyone was super funny. I thought I did a really good job. And, you know, I thought that everyone did a good job playing the adventure that I laid out. I thought you all danced quite well for me, puppets.
Uh-oh. I don't like that.
I thought we were all like a D-. I mean, Will was like a B+, like an A-. But like, I thought we were all trash.
This episode. No, I thought it was great. No, you didn't.
No,
this Arnold, that's silly.
Is this the longest episode? It's an hour and 42.
That's long.
That record was like 2.5 hours.
Yeah,
I had so much to cut down.
30 minutes of it was me trying to find my ass with both hands in a map, trying to figure out, because like my original version of the homebrew boxing rules made no sense whatsoever. And then there was a lot of, you guys were extremely patient with me as I dithered around to try to figure that shit out. And then Freddie would...
It played good. I had fun.
I was patient, but I did order delivery food because I was that hungry.
Yeah. Real quick. Big ups to Will, DM of the century, ready to tackle a thing that most systems don't touch, combat.
Shut the fuck up, Freddy. I hate that.
Jesus.
Fucking equalized.
Yeah.
No, well, I was trying to make it more fun than just the back and forth. You were looking for stuff, but I thought the boxing was all really fun. That's been like the most individual combat I've had, I think, in all... 3 seasons or something.
I would hope that you found it fun because you were the one who got to do it.
Matt, you were the Rock'em Sock'em robot, dude.
I think I said in the live listen, but like I took those 2 dice I was using. I've never had this sense of like lucky dice before, but like that series of 20s were like the best rolls I've ever had.
Felt like a craps player that wouldn't crap out.
People were saying that your boxing nickname should be the Roaring 20s.
Ooh. Oh,
hey, now that's good. A good one.
What would have happened if I lost?
Oh, a magician never reveals his secrets.
So something we might reuse later.
So basically, I'm gonna bullshit you guys. It was going to be a bit of a heads I win, tails you lose kind of scenario.
Either
he wins and becomes a scary monster, or he loses and the ritual goes wrong and he becomes a scary monster. It was kind of one of those. So not to break the illusion of choice too much, but this was a bit of a Heavy Rain scenario.
But my debts paid off.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. Clean the fuck up on this.
So
on
that's
this,
all I care about. I don't care about the monster. Like my debts paid off. So I'm
the
good.
Beef is Kelsey's cleared.
Good. She's clean. She's exposed her plagiarism.
No more character
and
development.
Her debts paid off.
That's always what a DM wants to hear. I don't care about the monster.
Kelsey's clean.
Yeah, Matt won the game. Matt won the game, actually.
Now she could worry about the monster and her friends because now her soul is cleansed.
Wow. What an arc.
Do you think if you were presented with a monster in real life, you would think something like, and I still haven't paid off my student debt? I don't know. I think there's a hierarchy of concern there.
Maslow's hierarchy of monster concern?
Yeah.
I feel like if a monster attacked me like 3 years out of college, one of my first thoughts would be like, oh my God, I'm dying with like $80,000 in debt.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
At that point, I'd be like, all right, I'm getting out of this thing.
Go and get out.
Death by Monster was the original student loan forgiveness program, if you think about it.
Nice.
Any favorite moments?
Let's go around the horn.
My favorite moment, I'm going to do something I said. Favorite
go
moment.
For it, Beth.
Hell yeah, Beth. That's what we want to hear.
Love yourself.
Yep. My favorite moment was thinking briefly that cats have corkscrew penises when that's really ducks. And then Googling that on Freddie's Wi-Fi and putting Freddie on a couple of lists of people who want to like get it on with ducks
need that information.
Or cats.
Yeah, that's terrible, pretty, that was pretty wild, Beth.
And now Freddy's getting all kinds of magazines and FBI.
What magazines? Like, what magazines are you getting?
Weird Dick Monthly, dude.
Oh, my God. You don't want to know, dude.
Yeah, like Quack Crack.
Quack. You should know you were the
it's
cover.
Just
you
butts of ducks, and it's called Quack Crack.
That's pretty good.
Quack Crack's pretty good.
So my favorite funny moments are specifically is Anthony and Will when BB's there. It's just Anthony just out of nowhere calls BB like selfish or some
judgy.
Shit.
Judgy.
Judgy. Judgy. There's a pause, but then it's just Will, not BB, says, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah. Very good.
It's maybe the funniest like character break I've like ever heard. It's just, it's so fucking off. Like, why
there's
was he calling
genuine betrayal there?
BB stopped being judgy once the entire time she's been in the show.
She's catching
and
strays,
you can tell, like,
dude.
Will kind of more or less goes along with us, but even there, you just be like, what the fuck was that about? It killed me. Re-listening to it killed me.
She's a little
that was the first time I've ever been offended on behalf of a character.
You can sense it. That killed me. And then I forget, I thought I wrote it in the life lesson, but there's a part where, oh, there we go. Freddy says, medically tape this to my bladder to where it used to be. A lot of the stuff when Freddy's leaving. And then my favorite non-funny scene is everything with Francis in the bathroom. It's like the most tense I've been in the whole show.
Yeah, that was
Francis in the bathroom
harrowing.
Was a lot.
Let's zoom in on that for a second. The showstopper this episode was this scene. Anthony, just like, let's just take us through it. What were you thinking? What were
let's
you feeling
inside the mind of Anthony Birch?
Let's get inside your skewed mind for a second.
So yeah, obviously Francis's big motivation was getting revenge on Shane. And now that we actually, after a, what I hoped was an overly gnarly peachy fact that I think a couple of people in the Discord mentioned made them, if not actually vomit, at least get nauseous, which I'm glad about.
Oh,
or it's about making you feel something. Sorry.
Sorry.
And basically being able to actually meet Shane in person for the first time and have it like be an active dick to Francis.
Will did a great job as Shane.
Yeah, it was a really, he's a really unlikable character right off the jump. Like it was no time at all from like zero to like, oh, I don't like this man at all, and I don't want good things to happen to him.
I've been very nervous to play Shane because I was like, it's a little bit of Maris syndrome where like he's been talked up quite a bit. So I was like, I knew, and especially like you guys normally when I try to introduce a villain character, like you guys just fucking steamroll me so hard because it's like I suck at playing intimidating people. But I knew for this scene, like for any of this stuff with Francis to work, I was like, he needs to not be rolled over by Francis. Whatever Francis throws at him, he has to be unfazed by it and worse to Francis than Francis is to him. Otherwise, it's like the character doesn't work. It pushed me outside my comfort zone a little bit in terms of the kind of stuff I normally do, but I had fun with it. Okay, keep going. Sorry. Anyway, just wanted to jump in and throw a little light on that.
Yeah, sure. So basically, I knew at some point, like, the rent's got to come due on this shit, and Francis has to go, like, if not dark, then at least pretty violent. And this felt like a really good opportunity to put in front of us with everybody being there and me having a gun and all that shit. But Francis sort of realized at the same time as I did that I didn't want to kill Shane. Like, it just felt like narratively like the wrong move to just shoot this kid in the back of the head and like it's over and done with, because now Francis has nothing to, like, what's he going to do? Just like shoot more people in the back of the head? Like, it's not as dramatic as the idea that like Shane is still somewhere out there potentially, you know, searching for vengeance or whatever. We cut it for obvious reasons, but my initial thought was like, what if I tried to shoot him in the back of the spine and like paralyze him? We were like, wow, that was too dark. So we didn't do that. Somebody's idea was to shoot off his leg instead, which is way better and still very dark.
And steal his leg.
Yeah. I didn't want to steal his leg because that would make me look even more guilty. And then basically when it was time to leave, you know, there's a couple of ways I could have played that of like, I'll use my amazing stealth to stay in the fucking bathroom and just wait for everybody to leave. I could do this. I could do that. And, you know, when I failed the sneak to get out by only 8, some people in the Discord during our live listen were like, why didn't he just use luck? And I realized it was because like something bad needs to happen to Francis. Like, I don't mean to toot my own horn, but the character's built well enough that if I want something to happen, it will generally happen. And so I wanted that moment to be like, if Francis got away scot-free and nobody even saw his face and he just got to completely consequences-free fuck up Shane, there's no real interesting way for me to play with that other than like, okay, I guess he's going mad with power because nothing bad happens to him when he does bad things. I didn't want to play that version of him. So yeah, I allowed the 98 to go through so that now somebody has seen Francis, so no matter what, there will be consequences to what he did. And I have some ideas for where I can take him and stuff. I was okay with people not liking him this episode or being freaked out by him.
Yeah.
I hope that was the right move.
That is a thing. Yeah, that's a thing.
I love everything you're doing with Francis. Like, it's been super fun to play off of. Specifically, one of the things, and I think I mentioned this in the live listen, but one of the things I really liked about this episode is that we get the full Francis. Like, I think he's so funny and sweet and supportive. And that, like, to me, the stuff with Shane, the reason it works so well is because we get that moment with Kelsey, another one of my favorite scenes in the episode, where he's like a kind of her supportive friend being like, we're going to go back home and burn those books so you're not tempted to plagiarize. It was like such an endearing, like, wholesome moment. And then, like, it just makes what happens with Shane so much scarier and so much more unsettling. He very much disrupts your idea of what, like, a kid like this who does something like that would be like. I don't know. I'm a big fan of it. But yeah, go ahead, guys.
But not all at once.
Like, yeah, it's crazy to me that there's people who are, no, it's not crazy. I mean, I get it, but it's like, it's a good place, I think, to take the character, because it is like this question of like, all right, someone's bullying you and this person's like incredibly awful. It's just like how the response, and then like, because to me, I would be pleased as Pontius Francis. I mean, like, this is a big popularity boost, I would assume, for old Shane.
Oh yeah, for sure.
We'll see if Shane makes it out alive from the next episode. Everyone's in kind of a bad position going forward, I'll put it that way.
But here's the thing, like, even
if he doesn't, the memorial,
even if he doesn't,
yeah,
who's the
legend
kid that's, yeah, missed the most, right? I'm so psyched for the possibility, Will, because I have to apologize, I didn't catch the fact that Shane and the friends there are just the teens from season 2.
Oh yeah,
I didn't catch that.
Boy, oh boy,
I don't think any of you did. I botched the delivery. I ran through it too quickly.
I mean, people in the live listen got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people got it.
Again, that's because we're running dual mind systems.
Even
dude,
when I saw them written out, I was like, what? I was just too stupid to get it.
I'll put it this way, those kids are gonna give some killer speeches at his funeral, even if he doesn't make it out. Do you know what I mean?
The two names I was the most proud of were Billie Holiday for the accurate Taylor Swift clone.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
And then the other one, so this is extremely subtle. This is very blink and you miss it, but I was like, the anti-Lincoln Lee Wilson would be Davis Lee Jackson, which is, instead of being three, except because it's three Confederate heroes, since it's Jefferson Davis, Robert E. Lee, and great Stonewall Jackson. So that was my other troll move. Was going to be, he's like super into the Confederacy and shit like that.
Yes, that's so funny.
That's funny.
That's the kind of company that fucker would keep.
I need some free kills next episode for this monster. So I think that this season 2 1950s teens might not be long for this world.
Also, before we get too far askew from it, I want to be official and say that I don't think shooting your bully is a cool thing to do. I think beating shit out of your bully is absolutely cool and you should do it.
Yeah, what's
don't
the
think,
line, Anthony? What's the line?
Just don't put him in the hospital.
No hospital.
You gotta hurt him enough to not hurt you back. That's and it. No more. Ender Wiggins learned that the hard way.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. Anyway.
So wait, you were gonna mention something about Carly. What's going on with Carly?
The kind of elephant in the room with Carly for me has been like the, I was very happy that you had Frances ask her, like, why do you like that guy? And I was like, Carly needs to suck just as bad as Shane does. Like, if she's legitimately, like, into both of these guys, she's a bad person. So I was like, we should steer into that as opposed to playing the, like, I always hate it when it's like the girl's just blind to the guy's faults. I mean, we kind of did that in season 1 of Video Game High School with Jenny and the Law, where it was like a bit of a stretch. And I think Johanna and Brian managed to get us across the finish line with it. But I've always never been a huge fan of that trope. So I was like, no, she should know that he sucks, but also be kind of drawn to him and Francis for the same reasons, maybe. I don't know. I don't feel like I'm quite cracked the code on her yet, but we'll see where it goes.
At least for where Francis is concerned, I think she's in a useful place right now, which is like, she's not going to solve his problems. He's probably not actually attracted to her. He's probably attracted to his idea of her and what she represents, because she's like the popular girl and so on.
Sure.
And so
yeah.
So she still seems pretty functional to me.
The other favorites.
I mean, obviously the salt and pepper. Obviously
salt and pepper. Salt and pepper. Oh, we need to discuss salt and pepper. My God, what a time.
I'll just say the closest I've seen to, I think what it is I saw somebody, I think on Reddit, said they swear they had a story in Sunday school. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I think, because it is, it's like this weird memory, and like that would make sense. And then that's why it wouldn't be online too, if it's like in just some sort of like Sunday morality school like story. Because there's a few, and then it's like sin, like getting rid of sin is as hard as like trying to separate sand from salt or sand from sugar. There's all these different versions. So it's somewhere. It's some story I remember vaguely.
Yeah, because I saw that. But isn't that weird? Because in Christianity, isn't that whole idea that you just pray to God for forgiveness and he forgives you for your sins? Isn't that the whole thing?
It's more complicated.
Christians hate him. To get into heaven.
Jesus hates him.
Matt, can you really quickly justify all of Christianity for us? Just super quick.
My understanding is that it would be like, without God's grace, it is this hard to rid yourself of sin, which is why you need to ask for forgiveness.
That's why you got to fucking, God's like,
God's got that like special like static electricity thing that separates salt from sugar.
Well, there you go.
Meanwhile, purveyors of Thai cuisine, which combines saltiness with sweetness, is like, hey, what the fuck?
I don't know, man. My brain just works weird. I don't know where that memory came from. I haven't thought of, it's not like I think about that all the time. I don't think I've thought about that.
Ah, the parable.
Forever.
I'm glad that every single reference to it was kept in the edit by Esther. I love that it wasn't cut down for time, even though it's a really long episode. It was like, no, us dragging Matt for this for a full 30 minutes has to happen.
We gotta be here.
I realize like now, like I need to go to like, if I find like a new therapist, I'm just going to bring that clip and we'll be like, hey, hey, so let's start the session. Somebody was talking about cum and guacamole and my brain went to this. My brain went to separating something, sugar and salt, which I'm pretty sure is a Sunday school thing from like 20 years ago about sin. So what do you want to do with that, therapist?
Let's unpack it.
How's my brain work?
You also got to send him the clip of you imagining the kid in Jungle to Jungle when I just talked about somebody looking at something once.
That's just me like a movie.
Easily my favorite part of the whole run was just like when we're initially like, what are you talking about? And then Matt just gets into this feedback loop where he just keeps explaining the song. Like, it's like, what? No, but what does that mean? It's like, well, it's like when you separate the salt from the pepper in that story. Like, what story? The one where you separate the salt from the pepper.
I felt insane. I just hoped somebody would know what I was talking about. That's all.
Yeah, I've never seen you so alone.
Alone at that moment.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
That's funny.
So let's talk a little bit about Punish Tony while we're here. Speaking Punish of cum Tony, and guacamole, dude. I've been saying my dicky balls in my head all day.
My dicky balls. And there was two actually this episode where I was like, I felt like I had a funny way of saying things. And that was like that one. And also when I got to the car lot, and it's like, he gets one, but I get one too.
Oh yeah. That was I like that a lot. That's for sure.
It's like, I'm on a car. True. Anyway, it's weird. I go into a weird headspace with Tony. It's a very fun place to be. It's very desperate and pathetic, which is, I think.
I was a big fan of the moment where Tony tries to use an Italian technique for waking his brain up. It's like, what is it? And you don't know what that is. And a lot of fun stuff there. And I'm excited for this new luck mechanic we've stumbled into for your zero luck, because I think you're going to hit it one of these days.
That reminds me of a story when the California Powerball was like crazy high. I remember at Rocket Jump, everyone's like, we're going to buy a ticket, you know, spend a buck, you know, play the lottery. You could get $1 billion. And I was like, sure thing. And I'm like, what numbers did you get? And I was like, well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And like, it's never going to hit those. I'm like, aha. Statistically, it is just as likely to hit that than any other sequence of numbers. They're all the same likelihood. So in a way, it illustrates how insanely difficult it is to win the lottery. And I thought I taught everyone a little lesson that day.
How much does a lottery ticket cost, usually?
$1.
Yeah.
Okay. That means my dad spent thousands of dollars on lottery tickets.
Probably spent even more than you think he spent.
Gave me no money for my college education.
He never won?
No.
No, he never did, really.
Damn. You know, though, if he won, you could be rich now.
Yeah. So. Imagine what it would be like if I was rich.
That'd be sick.
We pierced through the veil and we know what the infinite money trick is, which is you just start a Twitch channel where you buy $5,000 worth of scratchers and then you scratch them live on Twitch, and then people will watch you do that. And then in addition to whatever middling amount of cash you make, you're really raking in the money on those Twitch subs. Are there lotto people on Twitch?
That's really brilliant, Will.
Yeah, there's a whole subgenre, man, of people playing these. There's a specific, like, particularly brain-rotty crypto game that is like a ball bouncing down a pyramid and essentially lands in a standard Monte Carlo distribution, you know, the bell curve. So you want the ball to go, like, to the edges. You can sit and watch gambling addicts piss away $100,000 in 1 minute.
Oh, no.
Wow.
You would be surprised to learn that, like, most of those people don't make infinite money. There's like probably one or two of those people that make money, and then 1,000 other Twitch streamers making no money.
I stumbled upon a whole side genre of what I loosely term gambling talk, which is all the fucking crazy guys who get a rush off of like, here we go, $1,000 in one hand of blackjack, and they just record it. And it's like, it feels like you stumbled upon someone's like gambling addiction spank bank for if they hit. You know what I mean?
Man, I'm going to start a Twitch channel that is just me going to Dave and Buster's and spending like $300 on the games, and everybody's gonna have to come around and watch me play the games and not play them well and just play like the same games over and over again. But they're not cool games like video games. They're just gonna be like the fucking basketball game over and over and over again, and that's gonna be my Twitch channel, and I'm gonna make so much money.
I know you're joking, but that's actually a pretty good idea.
Do it, Beth.
Beth, at the end, you rack up all the tickets, and then chat tells you what to buy with the tickets you got at the end.
Ooh, that's good.
And then you buy buy something else. You're like, I don't care, Chad. I'm getting what I want.
I don't care. I want the dolphin.
The whole time you're looking into the camera and giving like really long eye contact. It's really important that you keep giving eye contact to the camera as you ask them what to spend the tickets on.
Beth, what were your favorite moments?
She said
it was a Beth May original.
Oh, that's right. It was Beth.
Penis.
I will say, speaking of Beth, one thing I'm wondering if this becomes a metagame later is that you guys could very clearly, like, anytime you want to force an enemy to make a sanity roll, you just show them Beth's brain.
Oh,
that's really good.
That's true.
Yeah.
Hit them with the head trick, doll.
Just to see if they freak out or not.
The way you bounce that is like, we never get used to it.
You have to take the sanity trick. That's pretty good. Yeah.
That's really smart.
I think it's fair to be like, we're okay with her, but it would still be shocking to see constantly.
And then there's always a luck roll to see if a bird poops on there while it's open.
Ooh, shit.
Ooh, that would be really bad.
Bird brain, dog. That's the real bird brain.
Got the bird brain.
On Reddit, I saw a video of this woman just giving a talk, and she has two like dissected human brains. Like, it's just the full brain attached to the spinal column. And she's just holding this brain up and talking about it. It sounds like nothing. You watch it, and I have like an existential freak out. I'm like, she's holding the entire loci of someone's consciousness in her hands. And it was funny. Then someone in the comments was like, oh yeah, we used to do this. And we'd like get a fresh brain, and then we do like autopsy, you know, not tours, but essentially they go to schools and do like, you know, presentations and stuff. And so they like let kids hold this brain. And he's like, I remember telling this kid while he was holding this brain, like, yeah, this brain was alive like 3 weeks ago. And I was like, that's the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life. Brains are weird. That stuff freaks
fresh
me out.
Fresh brain,
man,
is a pretty alarming combination of two words.
Yep.
The TEDx talks have really gone off the rails, don't you think?
Yeah, man. We're just brains.
Freddie, what was your favorite moment?
I did the first pass edit on this one. I felt like the way we're getting into the fight and the preload, it was just a very vivid visual episode. For whatever reason, when I was editing, I was like, oh, I really feel like I can visualize this weird bunker space and like the sort of scattered townsfolk and this little dark corner where you have the ice van and you playing the mom and setting it up. And I don't know, it felt like a real cinematic one in my head when I was putting it together. So I was pretty happy about putting it, even though it was like super, super, super long.
Per usual, Esther's sound design really helped sell that. And I thought there was some really
so good
choice highlights. For once, I don't know if everybody noticed this, but Mothman's voice got a big glow up this episode. She didn't quite get a chance to do everything she wanted to with Mothman in the previous episode. I think we're going to kind of go back and special edition it, but there's like a lot more insectoid kind of clicky clacks in there, and I think it's so fucking cool. But I was also a big fan of everything she was doing with the gunshot scene, and then also all the boxing stuff, the music cues and stuff. It was just a treat for the ears.
I gotta say, I mean, it's my fault because I didn't check any of the edits, but pretty disappointed you guys didn't do any work to get vitamin C. Graduation song. Really?
I couldn't just
call Maxim Waller and have him write a whole song just for that gag.
Esther pointed out that it actually would have been pretty easy. It's just the canon and D chords. So you could have just done that.
Oh, but that's true. So it's Will's fault.
It's my fault. We should have
just put it in there and just wait till we get a cease and desist.
I would check, Matt. I think, hold on, really quick, just as a point of order, I do think it is in there.
Well, maybe that's another one. We'll put that on the bucket list for our remastered edition.
You look like a fool.
Remastered when we do the, when we do the Star Wars 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
We'll have some dewbacks.
This time, Shane will turn around and I will shoot
at you first. Yeah.
You catch him like muttering a bunch of racist stuff, dude.
Yeah. Shane turns around and says, McClunky.
Yeah, McClunky. Yeah, dude.
He has a gun in his
calls
hand.
Me McClunky, dude.
I know we did a whole story break about this, but can we talk for a second about McClunky? Like, I feel like people forgot too soon that George Lucas went back again for no reason whatsoever. Yep. And the only thing he added was Greedo saying McClunky, which was like, what?
McClunky.
No, he came back for a reason. You talk about who's a real poster. That was the most poster move of all time. That was the ultimate. He knew what everybody was mad about. And he went back in.
Did something so fucking goofy.
Added him saying, McClunky, before shooting. It's like, I know people aren't going to be.
Yeah, he's like, all these fucking nerds, they've been on my ass for the last 30 years on this shit. I'll give them something to fucking talk about.
These 5 minutes of my life where I just quickly record McClunky and put it in here is going to give millions of nerds a fucking heart attack.
He probably went into the booth. I bet you he was like, hold my headphones. I'm in the booth. Hit record.
I gotta know if George.
All right, now do your thing, Skywalker sound. I'm out. Peace. Dude, and he was just like triggering all the nerds. Dude, George Lucas villain energy.
His villain era.
I mean, he's kind of right, because him saying it clunky almost makes me like that new version. Because now it's just dumb.
It's like, what does it mean, dude?
McClunky.
It puts a mystery back in it.
Yeah, now it's like, is McClunky not translated?
No, just says McClunky for no reason. Yeah. He goes McClunky and then he dies.
That's even
better. It's the craziest fucking thing I've ever seen.
And they say there's no more mystery in the Star Wars universe. Yeah, excuse me.
Oh boy.
Let me just double check if they don't translate it.
Fact check it.
Nah, dog, they don't bother with a fucking text to translate it. He just goes McClunky, dude. Dude, it's so intense because they cut to a close-up of him. Like, so you can really see him say, McClunky.
McClunky.
And they don't translate it. And then he dies, dude. That's like straight up fucking last lost in translation. Like, what does it mean? Like, what's his final words?
I'm going to Google, what does McClunky mean?
Someone should dub that into Lost in Translation when he whispers in her ear.
According to The Hollywood Reporter, a Disney rep maintains that Lucas made the change before the property was acquired in 2012.
Oh, dude, that's even better. He just laid it as a trap. Supposedly, he just snuck it in there and sat on it. He just
supposedly
fucking,
according to the, because some people know the language or there's the thoughts on what the language could mean. Supposedly it roughly translates into, this will be the end of you.
I'm looking at that now too. It's apparently in Huttese.
Until George Lucas says it, I don't believe it.
I regret not making Francis say that.
Rise of Skywalker should have been like, Ray what? Ray McClunky.
Ray McClunky.
Greedo saw the future in this moment of his death. My goodness gracious. Right. Let's see. This isn't okay. A lesbian catgirl passenger asks, this is inspired by Matt's salt and pepper debacle. What is the entire cast's favorite myths and fables from when they were kids? Like, anyone got any banger fables they liked or any old timey myths?
Dude, I was so fucking Monkey King pills, dude. That shit was so fucking tight. You guys don't get it, man. Fucking Monkey King was the fucking shit. I had these like little 5-part graphic novel. Just a quick summary. There was an impetuous monkey, angered the gods, fucking pissed on Buddha's hand. And Buddha's like, what the fuck? This little piece of shit. And they're like imprisoning him. And they're like, all right, look, you can get out. You can get out. You gotta accompany this priest getting the fucking scriptures from India. You gotta do this big long journey. And then we'll like the gods will like forgive you for it.
Is it a fair thing to say that the Monkey King was like the Deadpool of his day?
100% he was Deadpool.
So basically you're saying this is like a Deadpool and Wolverine style road trip movie, that this is the Monkey King.
Oh, it was a buddy God. Road trip movie. No, for real though.
Beth, what
was
your like, favorite part of Deadpool and Wolverine?
I just don't want to talk about Deadpool and Wolverine.
You don't have to. You can talk about a favorite fable or story.
What was your favorite myth or
Monkey
fable?
Monkey King, love him.
Mine's Deadpool too.
Well, in my house, the fables were from this really old book called Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah. Shit.
Fuck yes.
You know, like traditional fables or whatever. I'm all about like the wolf in sheep's clothing, princess and the pea, scorpion and the frog, all those and animal things. Yeah. I mean, where else are you going to get such heavy hitters as... I think it was in More Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark where they adopt a dog and they think it's like a hairless dog.
Oh, yeah, but then it's so good.
It's a sewer rat with rabies.
It's a sewer rat, dude.
I mean, the big toe.
Dude, the face and the spiders.
Yes.
Yes. Her pimple. Oh, yeah.
Those books went so fucking hard. And those pictures were the craziest, scariest thing to fucking... Like, dude, talk about the terrifying bane of every Scholastic book fair. It was like, I would be so scared of even walking across to see those books.
No, William, the scariest part. We had to all face that fear alone.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It feels like everyone kind of like had this privately as the thing they were like, ugh, really creeped out by. We could not
drawn to it like a moth to the flame.
Yeah, dude. Ugh.
This is going to sound so fucking get off my lawn. And Will, I'm wondering if you're going to get into this situation as you start reading more books. Freddie's already heard one of this rants. But I was going to say, I'm having an issue with some of the newer kids books that like rewrite old fables.
Oh, yes. This is
because
so
I'm
good.
Like, not to go like they're going woke and going broke. rope. I'm like, dude, okay, here's two. Because I love both of these stories as a kid. Ant and the Grasshopper. If you don't know Ant and the Grasshopper, that's, you know, ants are working really hard to get ready for winter. And the Grasshopper's like just fucking partying all the time. And they're like, yo, you should help us get ready for winter. And he's like, nah, I'm good. And then when it's winter, it's like, he's starving. And it's like, yeah, you should have helped out, dog. And then like, he has to rely on the ants to help him.
Oh my God, is that like A Bug's Life?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, the grasshoppers are bad. And then, you know, we all know Goldilocks. So there's this one Goldilocks book that Dorothy has. And like, I guess they don't want to end it with like, yo, Goldilocks sucked and she gets eaten. Like, that's the story. The story is to tell kids, don't break into people's houses
and eat their
and
stuff.
Steal, okay, and yeah, steal exactly. their shit. But instead, there's this new one. I'm like, okay, there she goes. It's also like one for like the Chinese New Year. So it's like pandas. Hey,
listen, I got you, buddy. This one, they're pandas. Okay, the bears are pandas. When the pandas eat the white girl, feels weird.
No, she's not a white girl. She's a Chinese girl. It's more that I'm like, okay, here it comes. Like, man, this book's pretty like chill. It's gonna be pretty shocking when they eat her. But then instead, she gets embarrassed. She runs away. The story keeps going, and she tells her mom like, oh, I did this. I feel embarrassed. Oh man, poor kid doesn't have food anymore. And then she goes back and like says sorry. And then she's just like, hey, can I stay over and help you guys make dinner? And then she like stays over there. I'm like, first of all, if I was the other kid's two parents, I'd be like, get this fucking crazy kid out of my house. No, you're not staying over for dinner. You broke into our house. You broke into our house and broke our shit.
Psychopath.
I don't know. There's just something about it. Then, you know, my daughter reads it and she like, you could tell like if it ended with her getting eaten, like Dorothy would remember
the story. It's a story. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm with you, Matt.
And then when you read like Roald Dahl books, it's like, yeah, dude, he just ends with like, yo, dude, like fucking this crocodile gets thrown into the sun. But it's like a lot of kids books now try to tell the story. Anyway, I have one more. This is my most annoyed one. So
I don't think I've heard this one.
It won a bunch of awards, but I hate this book. It's essentially the same story as Ant and the Grasshopper, but it's called Frederick. And it's about a bunch of mice getting ready for winter and they're all working really hard. And then Frederick is just like a depressed poet. And they keep saying like, yo, Frederick, like, yo, can you help like pick up some like fruit? And he's like, nah, I'm thinking. And they're like, okay. And then the next page, like, yo, Frederick, can you like get us some water? We're all going to die in like a month. And he's like, nah, I just don't feel like working. And they just keep doing
Sorry, just to be clear, is Frederick like a human or is it
No, he's
mouse?
Just another mouse. He's just another mouse.
Okay.
And then they get to the winter and they like, he's eating the same as everybody else. And then they get to the, and they're like, oh, now it's so cold. And he's like, don't worry. I can describe the sun in such a manner that we all feel warm. So he says a poem about the sun.
Oh my God. I would kill Frederick.
Oh my God.
And then they ask another thing. And then he says, and then he writes a poem about like how great spring's gonna be. And then it's like, and then the end of the story is like, oh, Frederick's wasn't not helping. He's just a poet. Don't you know it? I'm like, fuck
no.
Frederick.
My
what?
God.
No. I'm like, fuck Frederick, dude. You can still write poetry and do the work. You can still help out grabbing stuff. I hate it so much.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Solzhenitsyn was in a gulag, dude.
It's like, what a wild story.
You know what I'm saying, Doc?
Incredible Solzhenitsyn fucking reference, Freddy. Holy
that's
shit.
That's insane, Freddy.
I'm just saying, you know?
Matt, have you read the Hat Trilogy, the books by John Klassen? I Want My Hat Back and This Is Not My Hat. Do you know those ones?
No, that sounds great, though. Are they good or are they terrible?
They're fantastic. I'll buy you one, Dorothy.
Oh, the art
like
looks
it.
Awesome.
This is just animals stealing each other's hats and getting eaten, is all these books are. They're so fucking funny. Like the first,
yes, dude.
Fuck, yeah, dude.
The first one's just this bear, like, loses his hat. And he's like, I want my hat back. And he just goes around asking animals if he's seen his hat. And then it's like, he asks a monkey and he asks a fucking fish. And then they're all like, no, I don't have your hat. I haven't seen it. He's like, okay, thanks anyway. And then he gets to this rat who clearly is wearing his hat. His little pointy hat. He's like, have you seen my hat? It's orange and pointy. And he's wearing this hat. And the rat's like, no, man, I've never seen an orange pointy hat. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what your hat is. Forget about it. I don't know what your hat is. Don't forget it. I don't know. Go bother someone else. He's like, okay, I'm sorry. And then he asks like two more people. And then one of them asks him to describe his hat. And he's like, it's orange and pointy. And he gasps. He's like, I've seen my hat. And then it just cuts to, he's now wearing his hat. And then he's got his orange pointy hat on. And then two rats come up to him and are like, hey, have you seen our friend? He's a rat. He's gone missing. And he's like, no, I've never seen a rat. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what's that. I've never seen a rat before in my life. And that's the end. That's the end of the book. It's so fucking good.
That's good as fuck, dude. Yeah, I see it. It won a bunch of awards. That's a story. Yeah.
That's a story for kids. Gosh darn it.
Yeah, also kids just love that dark shit.
I was seeing people on Twitter come after that book, I'll Love You Forever, saying that it's like what boy mom because she climbs up fuck? And she's like a stalker. I'm like, fuck off. That book, I could cry just looking at a page from that book. Oh, it's just about love. Like, just shut the fuck up.
A real inability to like let go of literal. Yeah, just. Yeah.
Any last fables? I'm a big fan of Fable 2, obviously. Can't wait for the new Fable.
Oh,
Peter Molly new. Just here for whatever he wants to lay down. Moving on. Leaf asks, question for Will. Are you still using a dumb phone? If you are, how are you finding it? Any advice for someone who wants to try it out too? I am not. I'm reading this off of a smartphone right now. I have all the respect in the world for people who have the discipline to commit to the dumb phone lifestyle. I tried it and it was just, and I don't know. I'd be curious specifically to hear, and this is going to sound like a fucking cop out, but it's like, it's hard enough to do it. It's even more hard when you're a parent. Like, there are so many things that it's convenient to have in one. Like, your phone is your camera. It's your map. It's your, you know, like if we're going out to dinner and then like, I got to find a new restaurant or I'm looking up. It's just like, there's so many things you want to look up at any given moment that like, I found it even harder to break in my head. I'm like, well, I need all of this stuff on me. You know, I need my messaging apps. I need all of this stuff because there could be an emergency. But I also just like staring at my phone and reading Reddit. So what are you going to fucking do? I did not have the discipline to do it. My advice for you is good luck and you know, commit to it. There's a bunch of different phones that like they've gotten some more fancier ones that are like basically a fart smartphone with like some features nerfed on them. Like you could try something like that.
A fart phone.
A fart phone,
dude. The future is here, baby.
Bug is a tummy ache survivor asks, thoughts on the Deadpool movie? I think someone in the production team listens to Dungeons and Daddies.
I think...
We don't have to talk about this if you don't want to.
What's bad? No, I want to hear.
I don't think that anybody from the production team listened to Dungeons and Daddies.
No.
I hated it. I thought it was really, really, really bad. So there.
Oh, wait. Did you see the new one?
Yes.
Yeah, we saw it after you left. We all went. God help me, Matt. I fucking loved this movie so much. I had such a fun time.
Oh my God.
Normally, I'm like, let people like what they like, but no, not here. This is where I draw the line.
You were so upset when people were down on Twisters saying like, what did you expect? But it sounds like you're really down on Deadpool.
Yeah, but I was right actually in both cases. So it's kind of weird that I'm getting pushback.
I have not seen three. I saw one and I remember enjoying it when I saw it, and I've not thought about it for a single moment other than when every once in a while I hear about Deadpool again and I go, God damn, is that still a thing? And then I never saw two. So I have no feelings on three. Well, I got to hear everybody. So Beth hated it. Will liked it. And then Freddie.
We should just very quickly mention this was because we were all doing the record weekend for Dad Hammer, which Matt did this last week.
For Warhammer, that's right. Matt left early, Warhammer. Which is a DM's privilege on an Airbnb weekend.
Wait, you feel like you need to explain like why we all want to go see a movie together? Like it's not believable that we would just do that?
Oh, no, I wanted to just get people excited for the fact that we've done, we've done the recording part of Dad Hammer.
They were probably all wondering like, oh, they all went to see a movie without Matt? That's so mean. It's like, don't worry, guys. They do that all the time.
I didn't really like both of them.
Freddie, we got back to the car and Freddie was listening to opera to cleanse his palate. That should tell you something.
Okay.
He didn't stay for the post-credit scene.
Oh my God.
I literally walked up. I had enough.
I had a very fun time. I thought it was fun.
Okay. 2 for 2. I have a feeling I'll probably semi-enjoy it.
I will say I was sitting next to Anthony in the theater and hearing him laugh at it. I was like, maybe that gave me the permission structure I needed to enjoy Deadpool and just have a good time.
Yeah, if you were sitting next to me, I would have pinched you every time you laughed. I would have been like, nobody's allowed to enjoy this.
It is tough because I do think I'll probably enjoy it because I thought the first one was pretty good. It just hurts because it's like, I do think like Marvel and Deadpool at this point is the equivalent of Funko Pops, which I do deep in my soul think is the death of all good things in American culture. So,
Matt, as someone who knows you very well, I could genuinely see you going in either direction on this. I could see you liking me, like, really that was kind of fun.
Know. Yeah, I agree.
I could see you like literally never talking to me because I like this movie. Like, I could see you just being like, Will's a fucking idiot.
No. Listen, I think for what it is like the apex of it. And I'm just like tired of it.
Yeah.
Point, yeah. You know?
It's been so much this thing.
I'm trying to be more positive on things. I came out of Twisters being like, that was fun. I'll probably have a good time.
Hey, boy, by the way, genuine gags, genuine laughs out of me. But it wasn't like, you know, all the way through. I felt like I spent most of the time being like, all right. It was just felt like you're always ahead of it a little bit. But again, had some really funny, really, really good gags.
No, that's what I mean. I'm sure it'll be good. That's the thing.
Gags were, you know, like I laughed 4 times and solid laughs. I just thought like the plot was incomprehensible.
I think of all the Marvel movies, this is the one that is the most like, at least it's saying something about like the weird oversaturated superhero world that we're in. It's doing it for the wrong reasons and it's not actually being like transformative or transgressive in any way. But but it at least isn't like, oh, here's another Shang-Chi. Here's another fucking She-Hulk.
This is the only point I want to make about it. Because, and again, this, I speak as someone who feels nothing in my heart for Marvel movies and hasn't since like the Avengers came out. I don't like these movies. I'm bored by them. I have literally have not even seen either the other two Deadpool movies, but this one really worked for me. Like, I was totally charmed by it. I was along for the ride. I was laughing my head off. I liked its weird sort of like obsession with the Fox cinematic universe, and I thought the cameos were fucking great. I think the thing that redeems it to me above all, the reason it kind of to me worked and why it won me over, is that I genuinely am like, even Ryan Reynolds I'm polarized by, but like his love for this character, like his genuine love for this character, it is genuine.
Yeah, he clearly loves it.
He loves Deadpool, and it's roasting superhero movies, but it's doing it in this playful way where it's like, this movie, like more than, like in a lot of the other movies, like they will posture to be like, well, yeah, this is for comic book nerds or whatever. Like, for being as soulless and corporate a product it is, like, to me, there is just so much unbridled, genuine enthusiasm bursting out of every frame of that movie.
And I get that.
And then I just respect that the commitment to the bit that, like, it gets exhausting, and I would not begrudge anyone for being suffocated by it and finding it insufferable. But like, fucking Ryan Reynolds is working overtime in every single fucking frame of that movie to make you laugh. He's busting his ass off. For whatever reason, I found it really charming. And I was, and I guess I wouldn't say it's a perfect movie by any stretch of the imagination, but I think that,
oh God, no.
The sort of heart and that enthusiasm that I felt underneath it, like, made me grade it on a curve and made me really be very forgiving of a lot of stuff I would normally be much pickier about and like probably agree with Beth 99% of the times about a lot of its flaws. Anyway.
My single rebuttal, I'm not going to go into detail or whatever. I don't think this movie is worth going into detail about why I hated it. But the whole thing had the air of that single Twitter exchange where Elon Musk says something is sus, and then one of his reply guys say, see, sus means suspicious. Elon speaks street. And that is what the movie was for me.
I can see that. I was going to say, I was just happy because Anthony came out of Twisters being like, I don't like movies anymore. And I'm trying to be like, more and more, it's like whatever makes people happy, I'm just happy that they enjoy it.
Yeah. So this is a treat for Beth for putting up with Deadpool talk. Reese Mack asks, question mostly for Beth. So I think Beth gets the first and last word on this one.
Okay.
Have you seen Long Legs with Nicolas Cage and Micah Monroe? And if so, what did you think of it? Horror fans on TikTok seem to love it.
No. But
I can see it being divisive.
Another one we didn't like.
I'm so sorry.
I can see it being a divisive as a horror movie. Beth, take it away.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I have soured on this one immensely. I think it is a fine movie. The first third especially is so chilling and just absolutely like dripping with dread. I was really enamored by this movie up until about the midpoint where I think it falls apart. I normally like movies. I'm actually the person that likes most movies of like,
this is true.
Like I like most like movies that this group thinks are bad. So I'm sorry to say I did not like this movie a lot. It's more because I was frustrated by seeing like the kind of backbone of like a really great movie. It just not going there. My main complaints, I didn't think Nicolas Cage was very good. I thought, he wasn't scary.
No, you're looking at Nicolas Cage doing Nicolas Cage shit.
Yeah, and he clearly having a grand old time. And then, you know, the lore that is revealed in the end is very much kind of hat on hat and just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's even like, you know, I don't want to spoil anything because I think it's really worth watching. It's a relatively new voice. And oh my God, there's such a loud motorcycle outside my window. Sorry.
It's Long Legs, Beth. Get out of there.
It's Long Legs, Beth. Coming after me. My other weird complaint, and watch this movie and tell me if you agree or disagree. I think Micah Monroe is doing incredible work here. However, her choices, like initially with this character, this character seems like she would never get hired for the FBI in the first place. Just seems very like almost fragile and emotionally fraught. And I'm just like, I don't think that's what the FBI is looking for, even though she has like these intuitive powers and stuff like that. So,
Beth, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I have this observation and I want to see if I'm fucking like way out in left field here.
Oh, no.
I saw the movie with Beth and I felt the same way about pretty much her thoughts echo mine exactly on Long Legs. So both Long Legs and Twisters were made by men. And I'm seeing this sort of both of the main female characters, I'm trying to describe them. They're like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I can see what you mean.
They're trying to avoid like certain tropes, or maybe they're trying to be careful and be like a more nuanced, like mature, like female character, but they just become like, they're not fun. And these are blank slates. And it feels like almost like a problem in the other direction where I'm like, why can't like these main characters like have any, and like the two actresses are so good that they bring so much out of it. But when I thought about the way they're written, I'm like, they're so similar. And they're just kind of like, oh, they're a little bit awkward. And like, and it's almost like these male writers like to avoid that, like, they can't just make them love interest. Well, we'll make them not interested in anybody. They're just kind of like, why?
They have the superpower of being intuitive about the thing that they're working on.
They're both like a little bit, yeah, like that. And for whatever reason, I buy it in Twisters.
Yeah.
One, because her career does not like require her to be like this ferocious kind of level-headed person. I mean, there are tons of people who chase tornadoes who aren't mentally like stable or whatever.
Yeah, she's a scientist, not a cop. Yeah.
Yeah. She's on the field talking to people. So
she has to fill out reports about her gun.
And the other thing that I think Twisters does that helps it get away with this, in my opinion, is that opening scene in Twisters where you see like where the character could have gone another direction and is the way she is as a result of something that happened. And, you know, it might be the cheesy, schlocky, like summer blockbuster way to do it. But I think that even just having a scene like that does a lot. But, you know, if I were making a movie about a cop, an FBI agent, even then I just would, you know, you think about like a piece of media that gets it right. I think of like Homeland. So it's like the main character in Homeland.
Oh, that's
is
a
like
good comparison.
Absolutely. On it and on the ball and a genius, but she has bipolar disorder and she doesn't take her medication regularly. So she's always like going, you know, going crazy and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just like you have to justify why they're getting away with being as unstable as they are, I think. And I think this goes from any kind of protagonist, not necessarily women, but I think it is like a disturbing trend right now to make women, instead of interesting, make them fragile strong, like, oh, she's
what I'm
so
kind of getting
fragile
at. Yeah.
But she's hiding it.
Interesting.
It is a frustrating, I think it's being masked well by really talented actors who are able to like kind of bring some more depth to it. You know, it's good to point out, so thank you.
Yeah, I was just curious.
Beth, it sounds like Long Legs might suffer from what my wife Cherish, one of her biggest pet peeves in any sort of procedural movie, is when the main character is bad at their job. She did nothing will take her out of a movie more. She's like, this person sucks at their job. Why are they dumb? Why are they bad at their job? I want people who are good at their jobs. Like, because I remember her being like, that was something she really liked in Heat. Was like, she's just watching people be good at their fucking job. Like, was what she liked about that movie.
Oh, yeah, that's all Michael Mann's whole steez, dog.
Michael Mann just makes movies about people who are good at their fucking job. And there's like, we were watching Point Break, and it has that kind of like macho dick swinging energy of a Michael Mann movie, but she disengaged with it because she's like, Keanu Reeves, he's bad at his job in this one. Johnny Utah sucks at his job. He's terrible. But it sounds like Micah Monroe's character might have that going. Again, not having seen the movie, but it seems like this is also like an FBI agent.
She's actually like,
did you guys watch Point Break expecting it to be a procedural? It's a gay rom-com, dude.
Anyway.
It's just a straight-up romantic comedy between these two boys.
Micah Monroe in Long Legs is good at her job, but for, like, reasons that really don't add up.
it's made-up skill.
It's also hard to know if she's good at her job or not, because the job is, like, weird kind of FBI-ing with not a real FBI. This is not even like a dig at the movie so much. It's just like, I just thought this was funny for people who have seen it. There's two scenes in Long Legs where they cut to, like, you've seen this before in like, especially Hong Kong cop movies, where like there's an entire room of like 30 people all in chairs, and there's a guy making a fucking, you know, presentation, and they're like, we're gonna be doing all this, we're searching for this guy, we're doing this, and you're like, oh shit, like a ton of people are looking for Long Legs. But outside of those two scenes, like, you never see anybody. It's just like her, to the point where like they're going to interrogate him, and like she just walks in. I'm like, where's the FBI?
Oh,
they
my
have
God.
Like 40 people hunting this guy down, but you never see them any other time in the movie.
Will, Long Legs actually brings up like kind of a good brother or sister to Cherish's pet peeve, which is that everybody else looks really bad at their job.
Oh, even worse.
And I think that that also doesn't serve the movie when everybody but one person is bad at at their job. I'm like, I don't really buy that. You know, a lot of comparisons with this movie to Silence of the Lambs, and I don't think that's fair. And I think that like Jodie Foster in that movie is impeccable in the way that she carries this like strength, even though you notice in some shots are like, you know, it's just like a masterfully shot film where it's like a lot of times from her perspective looking up at men and men looking down at her and stuff like that. And it's just like, the strength that she wears on the outside only to be cracked by this sociopath is just like such a powerful arc. And it's just, I think you kind of lose the nuance of that.
Yeah.
Nathaniel asks, back in season one, I remember Matt describing Will as a fun liberal. How would you each boil down the others in this complex adjective plus noun way?
I refuse to do this.
No, I don't want to do this.
I refuse to do this.
Okay, that's fine.
I think if we do this.
You're all fun liberals.
Anthony is baby cuck.
I think after the tour, we were like all having a chat. We're like, it's so cool how like we've been doing this for so long. We've never really had any like breakups or like really mad at each other.
You
like,
think this question would
cause us? I think it would do it. I think it would do it. I think this is it. I think that's how fragile this relationship is, people.
Wow.
Don't ask questions you don't want the answer to.
I'm ready to stress test it if you guys want to, but let's go out on that.
No, I want to hear your opinion on this.
No.
Here, fine. Here we go. Freddie.
No!
Freddie, beautiful person. Beth, beautiful person. Aww. Will, beautiful person.
Aww. Anthony. Oh, Matt, you big sweet
piece of shit. Beautiful person.
That's Anthony, beautiful. Skibbity toilet. Beth is baby Gronk. Yes,
thank God.
What am I?
Matt is Livy Dunn. You're baby Gronk.
What's Will?
Will is Phantom Tax, obviously.
I'm Riz King, dude. The Rizzler. All right, Beth, take us out.
No, you're not. All right.
What the fuck did you say to me, Beth?
I don't know what I said. I'm done.
I was the Riz King, and you said, oh, that you said, no, you're not. I was like, I'm the Riz King, and you're like, no, you're not.
I just don't think that's true.
He gave you an out.
He gave you an out.
That's it.
But speaking of outs, fun fact is that the plane that they use to get the horses to the Olympics that are competing in dressage and horse items.
Horse stunts.
That plane is called Air Horse One.
Shit, oh, hell yeah. So fucking good.
I love it.
Oh my God. Right, that's so good.
All right, y'all.
All right, bye.
Excellent.
American women won the gold in gymnastics. Yay.
Women can be women.